Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and encourage each other in prayer. You know, we have shared in a wonderful journey together these past 6 weeks as we have committed ourselves to discovering our life's purpose, or as author Rick Warren puts it, to discover what on earth are we here for. We have discovered through reading the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, the first four of the five areas of purpose God has for our lives. Purpose number one, you remember, was to worship God. Purpose number two, to fellowship with God's people. Purpose number three, to grow our discipleship in becoming more like Jesus. And purpose number four, to serve God's people in a place of ministry that He has prepared for us. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, and ministry. These are the first four areas of purpose for our lives. The fifth one that we'll discuss today is mission. God's fifth purpose for our lives is that we would find a way to serve people around us who are non-believers in our neighborhoods, our communities, our cities, our nation, and even in other countries. Our author, Rick Warren, puts it this way. He writes, "You were made for a mission. God is at work in the world, and He wants you to join Him. This assignment," he writes, "is called your mission. God wants you to have both a ministry in the body of Christ and a mission in the world. Your ministry is your service to believers, which we discussed last week, and your mission is your service to unbelievers. Fulfilling your mission in the world is God's fifth purpose for your life," as he writes. Well, you know, the good news about sharing the good news is that our mission field does not require us to go to a foreign land, although many people are called to foreign mission fields, as we know. But no, our mission field is all around us. Really, any place we set our feet where there are people who do not know Jesus, that's our mission field. And you know, our first mission field is in our families, in our homes. And if you're a parent or a grandparent, that certainly is your first mission, is to make sure your child, your children, your grandchildren know about Jesus. But you know, your mission field also is in your neighborhood. And most certainly your mission field is in your workplace outside your home. Our author writes this. He says, "God wants you to share the good news where you are. As a student, mother, preschool teacher, salesman, or manager, or whatever you do, you should continually look for people God places in your path with whom you can share the gospel." You know, I remember when I began my direct sales business, I was teaching at the time, and so I began direct sales part-time. And I remember that I was welcomed into homes of my hostesses and clients that more doors were being opened to me than to most pastors and preachers. You know, it dawned on me, goodness, I have an easier access. They would never darken the door, some of the hostesses and clients that I would be at, to a church. That just wasn't where they were comfortable, and they probably wouldn't open their door to a pastor, but gosh, they were opening their door to me to come in for business. So I just began to get more intentional about praying for my clients and about recognizing my responsibility to be a woman of integrity in all my business dealings and to ask God to let my work be a witness. Now look, let me quickly add, I'm not perfect. I've never been perfect. I will never be perfect. I am a human being. I just know I'm forgiven because I'm a child of God. I didn't always perfectly handle everything. I don't want you to think that. And I don't still to this day perfectly handle everything. I just became so much more aware when it dawned on me. And I know I'm a late bloomer. I learn things sometimes, you know, later in life, or it takes me longer to learn lessons. Maybe this has already dawned on you, but I just remember that. And I know I wasn't being called to go into people's homes to begin to preach to them. That was exactly what not to do. No. Rather, I just wanted to be more aware of the needs of those I was serving and allow God to open doors of opportunity to give Him glory. It was an intentional shift in my mindset to see my career and my work as my mission field. Now, it wasn't huge and big and grand and glorious. It was just a new thinking and a new awareness and just a new intentionality. And trust me, sometimes I did better than others, and sometimes I remembered better than others. And many times I was open to God more than I was at other times. But I knew that developing relationships and friendships with clients and with my other fellow team members was a pathway to encourage them and, when possible, to share a truth from God. And that's when I really saw God at work, when ladies would ask me to stay for an extra cup of coffee, or they would just be sharing about a wayward child, or they would share something that was happening at work, or they would just talk about something fantastic that was happening in their family or their life or whatever, or just questions that they were having or challenges they were going through. It wasn't religious conversation. It was just real woman-to-woman stuff, just real life stuff. But I just remember being able to have more of an encouraging presence, and I knew that that's where God was working. And again, it wasn't about opening scripture and preaching. It was to be there as an encouragement, but to shine that light in a different way than just average, everyday encouragement. I'm sure you can relate to this. Many of you listening are, you're in direct sales business. You recognize the access that you have to your clients and to their homes and to them personally. And even if that's not you, whatever job you have inside your home or in the traditional workplace, that's your mission field. It's a place to shine the light of Jesus as you interact, as you model WWJD, what would Jesus do, on a regular basis, and oftentimes without words. You know, actions do speak, and we're known through our actions first. They speak loudly, and we don't have to preach at anybody. We do want to be so aware of our actions and our decisions. But there will be opportunity for you to share Jesus. And so we are to be ready. 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16 says this: always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You know, because as a Christian, you will respond differently to different situations. Maybe the neighborhood or their community is going through struggle, and you're there in the midst of it with everyone else, but you respond just a little bit differently. You're looking at it. Your take on it is a little bit different. That's going to become an attractor factor for people around you. That's what God is asking us to do, just to remember how to respond in Christ. Not that we're going to open our scriptures, but just to remember to respond. And then as people are attracted to that, quite often, and the scripture says, when people ask you, they will ask. Boy, you see this differently. How is it that you've got that kind of strength? How is it that you are able to respond so calmly? Whatever it is, they're going to see that, and they will ask. And you want to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Our author, Rick Warren, gives us four questions that we should ask ourselves that will help us prepare to give an answer for the hope that is within us. He says, be ready to give an answer to these four questions. Number one, what your life was like before you met Jesus. What your life was like before you met Jesus. Second one, how you realized you needed Jesus. How you realized you needed Jesus. Third, how you committed your life to Jesus. How was it that you came to commit your life to Jesus? And fourth, the difference Jesus has made in your life since. The difference Jesus has made in your life since. So number one, what was your life like before you met Jesus? Number two, how did you realize you needed Jesus? Number three, how did you actually commit your life to Jesus? And number four, what difference has Jesus made in your life since then? You know, those four questions will help you. The answer to those will help you to have that ready answer for the hope that is within you. And we are going to be called to be on mission every day, wherever we are. Our actions first, and then our words. But let's make sure we're never caught unprepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give the reason for the hope that you have. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a message from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.